The Severance Podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by The Farmer's Dog. Try fresh, healthy food at thefarmersdog.com/severance.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And this is the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam, where we talk about everything related to severance.
And today is a little bittersweet because it's our last podcast for a while.
Yeah, that's crazy. I didn't know that we've done 30 episodes.
30 episodes.
Wow, that's crazy.
It is crazy.
You know what? We've done almost 1.5 times more podcast episodes than we've done episodes of Severance.
I was just making that calculation in my head, and you did it way faster than me. It would take me like 2 days to come up with that.
Yeah, thank you. I am not a math expert, but I did, 30, and we've done 19.
Sounds like it to me. Sounds like a math expert to me. But we are going to go out on a high note here. I'm going to talk with the man who really started it all on Severance, Yul Vasquez, who plays Petey, Mark's best friend.
And after your conversation with Yul, I think we should answer some hotline questions for the final time.
Yeah, I'm going to miss these hotline questions. So great getting to answer these. Okay, let's get into the episode.
All right. I do get nostalgic for PD scenes and
Me
us
too.
Shooting the PD scenes. You know, that was so early on and just,
I know.
Right? Like shooting in the greenhouse.
And shooting down in the basement, first scene we shot of the whole show was us eating pizza in the basement.
Oh my, was that the first thing? Really?
It's the first like dialogue scene. Because remember the very first day you took mercy on me and we shot just me like walking in through doors and opening the refrigerator and
right.
A whole day of just little like me walking down the hallway.
Right.
Just little bits and pieces like that.
We wanted to ease in. Yeah, we wanted to kind of ease in. Yeah.
I loved that so much that's how we started. But then the next day, we dove in with me and Yul eating pizza.
Right. Yeah. Great memories of working with Yul because we were figuring stuff out then, like, the reintegration language and how to shoot those things. And of course, my favorite Sudoku line of yours.
Yeah.
Yul's a great guy. I've known Yul forever. Please send him my best.
I will. Do you have anything specifically that you wanted me to ask Yul?
Ask him about his art.
Yeah, I will. His paintings are incredible.
Yeah, he's like a serious artist. And, I'm sure but people might not know, he drew that PD map himself.
He did?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, ask him about that.
Which is now like on T-shirts and things all over.
It's on. I have a mug.
Yeah, me too.
Do you have the Lumen mug where when it heats up, you see the map? It's so cool.
It's so cool. So, Ben, how have you been? It's been a week since our last episode.
I've been good. I've been, just kind of running around,
You're working right now.
Working, we're working on on Severance too.
A lot of season 3 stuff happening.
Yeah. We're writing and pre-producing and all that stuff. Also, in this downtime, you've done a couple of films that I'm just excited to see you on the big screen.
Oh, thanks.
And I saw that you have this horror movie.
Yeah, Hokum.
Yeah.
Yeah, Damien McCarthy, this really interesting Irish filmmaker, lovely person. He made this great movie, Oddity, a couple years ago. And so this is his follow-up, and Neon's putting it out. So really excited about that.
Yeah, that's so great. I've never been in a horror movie, so I am envious.
You haven't?
No. And I saw the still
that
they put out when they announced that Neon was releasing it. And it's this cool, you look like like you've got glasses and you're wet and you've got stubble and you just it looked really cool and like different character. And like, I was like, I'm in.
Oh, great.
Really fun. And can you talk about the De Niro movie?
Yeah, it's called The Whisper Man. It's going to be on Netflix. It's De Niro, Michelle Monaghan, myself, Michael Keaton is in it.
Oh my God, really?
So yeah, it's really... It was really fun to make and really just so amazing getting to work with Bob.
Yeah, but we should compare De Niro notes at some point.
Yeah, totally. I just wanted to talk really quickly because I just bought a bunch of Premiere magazines on eBay. Mm-hmm. Did you read Premiere magazine back in the day?
I had a subscription.
Yep.
I read it. I consumed it. I think I wrote a couple of things for them.
Did you?
I wrote one thing. I think I wrote a tribute to Diane Keaton in it once.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
But that's cool. You found the old Premiere Max.
Dude, you should do yourself a favor and buy it. They're like, you know, $5 or something on eBay. And it's just amazing going through. Just first of all, that there is this big, thick magazine that came out every month just about movies. It's so
cool.
Fun.
It was a big deal, Premiere Magazine.
Huge deal. And the journalists, the writers they had were great. And they would write really in-depth profiles and interviews. And it's just terrific.
Yeah, so good. And also magazine, the other thing that you don't have anymore is like when actual magazines existed, it would be Time would be a certain size or, right?
Yes.
Or Newsweek. But then there would be like Rolling Stone was bigger.
Yeah.
And Premiere was kind of bigger like
that. It was big, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And that was like kind of a special thing too.
Loved it. Yeah, I have one that I had when I was a teenager that I found on eBay that's De Niro and Robin Williams on the cover
for Awakenings.
Yeah.
Which my mother's in, by the way. She plays one of the patients in them.
I have to rewatch. I haven't seen it in so long. Oh, that's amazing.
Penny Marshall movie.
Yeah.
All right. I think it's time for your conversation with Yul.
Excellent.
Let's do it.
I am so excited to have our next guest with us today. He is someone who has been in absolutely everything that you love, including Seinfeld, The Sopranos, Sex and the City, and iconic roles in stuff like Captain Phillips, Russian Doll, Little Fockers with Ben, the great show The Outsider, The Looming Tower, so many things. And he was nominated for a Tony and a Drama Desk Award for The Motherfucker with the Hat. Incredible actor, our Petey, Yul Vasquez. Welcome to the show.
Absolute pleasure to be here with you, Adam.
So, Yul, you have a really interesting origin story, you yourself, not Petey. You want to tell us about growing up in Miami?
I grew up in Miami Beach, Florida. Yeah, I grew up in Miami Beach when nobody wanted to be there.
Wow.
So we came from Cuba. I was 2.5 years old, came with my mother.
Okay.
Single mom, two kids, came with my grandmother. My parents were divorced. My father stayed in Cuba, had a second family. I have five half siblings.
Wow.
I think there was some overlap, if you know what I mean.
I think I know what you mean.
but they were divorced, and my mother was like, I'm getting out of this system. I am not raising my kids in this communist dictatorship, basically. So came to Miami Beach. My mother was an actress. My mother didn't really speak English, learned English. Got involved with a theater company comprised of actors that were exiled actors, you know, from Cuba, and they had a theater company and they would do plays. And
wow.
And when I was a little kid, I was like the sort of the default kid. I would get thrown into plays. I didn't want to be an actor. I wanted to be Jimmy Page. You know, I wanted to be a rock star. I played in rock bands.
So you did pursue music for a while. You were in a band called Urgent.
It was a band called Urgent and a band called Diving for Pearls. I made two records.
Right, Diving for Pearls.
Yeah.
And you guys, Urgent had a hit in the 80s, is that right?
We had a song called Running Back, yeah. We did two records with that. I mean, I think hit is kind, but
wasn't it in the like Billboard Top 100 or something?
It charted. It was very AOR. It was, you know, that's how I wind up in New York, is that band.
Okay, so that gets you to New York, and we're all the better for it because you are one of the best actors that we have. And we are all the better for having you on Severance, too.
Very kind of you, my friend.
I mean, we started the show as just you and I for the first few weeks of production. We were just doing Mark and Petey stuff.
Dude, my fucking eyes just teared up. Like, literally, I swear to God, my eyes just welled up. It's crazy. Yeah, go ahead.
I was so freaked out, and we were figuring the show out as we were going, right? And you and I were at the very beginning of it. I remember day one, Ben just had me like opening doors and walking. It was just me doing kind of menial stuff. And then day two, you and I dove in with the scene in the basement eating pizza. And I'm so grateful that the stuff we started with was with you. One, because you're incredible and it was such a pleasure and privilege to get to work with you, but also emotionally, it was so important to lay this base of this relationship. It's integral to the show, and you really kick everything off emotionally, story-wise, everything. Do you want to talk about sort of how this came to be, how you ended up on Severance in season one there?
You know, I well, first of all, thank you for saying all that. That's
I mean, yeah,
incredibly generous of you, and we have a text romance that I love, and I really do adore you, because not only are you a fucking great actor, but you're one of the great humans in our business, and you know, is not always the case.
No, thanks, buddy.
I knew Ben for a long time because we met. We shared a green room at the Public Theater. We were each in different plays. So we knew each other.
Is that like 20 years ago, something like that?
Dude, it was 2005,
okay.
I think. Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah.
But we'd never worked together, but you know, we knew each other. And then we got on the Zoom and we did these work sessions on the Zoom. And I had the benefit of knowing the four. Like, I knew where I was starting, where I was going. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And I had a sense of tonally what the show should be. And I remember saying to Ben on the Zoom, I said, I think when he goes, if it doesn't break your heart, then we got it all wrong.
Yeah.
For me, you know, and it's almost better when you don't know anything else. Mm-hmm. It's good because all we have is what we're doing in this room right now. And that piece of scene, I knew that you knew, that we both knew what we sort of had to do there. And we had a great commander. You know,
yeah,
we had a fucking great commander who was clear, and he was like, okay, let's try this and let's, you know, fine tune it. That to me was the only way that I could do it. And it was very personal, you know, because we were in that basement.
Yes, it was. And that it really kind of clicked into place really quickly. We never had a conversation about these two guys and our friendship. We just started doing it, and it really kind of fell into place emotionally right away. And the thing that I always felt was really lightning in a bottle that you were able to capture and was so integral to the show working at all is Petey coming in, and it so easily could have been an exposition machine and somebody coming in there in like a science fiction show, how it's done sometimes where people come in and tell this fantastical story about what happened to them and what might happen in the future and all this stuff to kind of set the scene and try and set up the stakes and everything. But you come in and it's so hyper real and so emotionally present that none of that stuff happens, and whatever exposition is there is beside the point. It's the emotional character story first, and that's what you came in and did. Just right off the bat, it was like, oh, this is what the show is.
You know, I met you and I liked you. I had known your work, but I met you and I liked you.
Uh-huh.
And I knew I could use that.
Mm, right.
And the other thing I could hang stuff on was the daughter, the wanting to return to that. Why I wanted to get back to that. And why can't I get back to that? You mean? And what you guys did to me was fucked up.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to get back to that, you know. And I could sit with you, and you could put the camera on, and you're going to see two guys that like each other.
Yes.
Genuinely like each other.
Yeah, when we weren't shooting, we were off in a corner chit-chatting, and it was the same thing.
But, you know, I think actors sometimes, and not all actors, don't realize the value of that. You don't need to gild the lily.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
You know, you already like this guy. Just turn that fucking thing on.
Exactly, which is also why I think talking the scene to death or talking the characters to death off camera, sometimes there is absolutely no use for it. If you both know what you're doing and you understand, everyone understands what this is, let's just turn the camera on and let's get it while it's alive.
Yeah. And I think those scenes were fucking extraordinarily written. You know what I mean? Like, about seeing you with red eyes and I knew what was going on with you, and you know, like,
yeah,
those scenes are unbelievably fucking well written, man.
Yeah, we shot all that basement stuff right away. So it was not just the pizza scene, but you in the bathroom having the reintegration sickness. All that basement stuff from the first few episodes we did in the first like week. And then we went out and did that diner scene, which was so fun.
Yeah.
And you know, this line that's become iconic, it's that Petey says to Mark, I'm your best friend, you're my very good friend.
So
actually, let's listen to that.
So, you've unsevered And now you, what, think they're after you or something?
Yeah. They being Grainer, who's probably out here right now.
Grainer, okay. Is that, like a person you know, or?
We both know him. We don't like him.
I see.
Nothing down there is what they say. If something happens to me, the things I know need to stay known. I'd prefer it be by a friend.
So, we're friends?
I'm your best friend. You're my very good friend.
There it is. Did you have any sense that that could that had that potential?
I could. There's no way that I could have imagined that. I remember that day in the Phoenicia diner.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's famous. They have these famous pancakes. No, but a guy came up to me at the airport, and he said, "Hey, I just want you to know that my son and I say that line to each other."
That's great.
I was like, "That's fucking crazy."
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after this. So this map that Petey draws, you, Ewell, actually are the one who drew that map.
Yes, it is. So if you've seen my, I paint. I don't know if you knew that about me, but I paint.
Yes.
Yeah.
But this map in particular, was that a, did you collaborate with Dan and Kat Miller, our props master, and Ben and everybody on that?
So Kat made a template of what the lumen floor looked like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then Ben said, you can take that and you can embellish that. You know what I mean? So I did. So I took that and added all the other occult symbols, and like I wrote in a corner, all is mind.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which is something from the Kabbalion, which is, you know, which is a real Western mystery school tradition.
Oh, interesting.
Philosophy. Yeah. So I wrote all that stuff. You know, I said to Ben, there was an esoteric sense, not only to Petey, but to the show. You know, the show to me lives in this esoteric world, you know, where you, it can really go in many ways. I mean, it is, there is a mysticism to the show that I think is appropriate.
It really is a beautiful piece. You know, there's so much mystery still with Petey. We know generally what happened, but we didn't see a lot of it. A lot of it is you telling us about it, and we see the results of it. But the actual journey that Petey went through in order to start reintegration, that all sort of happened off camera.
It did. You know, it's funny. I thought of it. I wonder what that would look like. You know, what his home life, what his,
right,
he's divorced, daughter doesn't really talk to him. You know, it's a tragic fucking guy.
I know. You know, it's really sad. He has this daughter, and we should say the daughter's played by Cassidy Layton, who is
great.
Excellent.
Great.
And you guys were so great together playing Enter Sandman, which is also kind of huge in the lore of the show. And it's funny kind of thinking back to you starting in a kind of metal band of sorts, that it ended up being Enter Sandman. How did that all come together?
Ben said, listen, can you play this song? And so I worked with George Draculius, who had produced a friend of mine's band, actually. So my friend Ian.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Ian Asprey, the singer for The Cult, had worked with George. I worked with Draculius, and then I don't know if those rehearsals were, there was a room on the stage that had these giant fans, mm-hmm, like air extraction filter, like,
sure,
like they
back
sounded like
COVID.
Yeah, jet engines.
Yes, they were so loud. Yeah,
that's where we would rehearse on Zoom with Draculius.
So, oh my God.
That's right. So we couldn't hear anything.
Of course not.
So George, so we had these little amps, and she had the bass and I had the guitar, and we're like, and George, could you hear this? Like, I can kind of hear it. Can kind of turn up a little bit. I'm like,
yeah.
Well, we had the fans, and I said, can we turn the fans off? They're like, no, we can't turn the fans off.
All right.
I'm like, okay. So we did the best.
So it's crazy. Basically winging it is what you're saying.
Winged it, but I knew I could play it. I could play it, you know? And so that was like, and I did, we played it.
It was so sad and so adorable. You guys singing that dark, sad song together.
Isn't that crazy? Shot on a high A, like a high A camera, which that was Aoife's episode.
Yeah, Aoife directed that. And I had never seen that video or heard you sing the song until we were shooting the scene at the funeral. And it was really profound and really just tragic.
Yeah.
Let's listen to that.
Rock show time. Forget my son to include everyone.
So you are the first one to kind of establish reintegration sickness. What did you guys talk about when you, because I know when I had to do it in season two, we really used you and what you did sort of as a template of where to go with it. What was the context you thought of that? And where did you kind of find the symptoms and all of that stuff?
I had this conversation with Ben about seizures.
Yeah.
And, you know, petite mal, grand mal seizures, and so there's all these videos that we watch. He sent me some videos. I sent him some videos, and they're pretty harrowing. Yeah. You know, he said the reintegration is going to be you're going to hemorrhage. It's going to be a brain hemorrhage. So you're having a seizure, and then your brain starts to hemorrhage. So, and it's excruciating pain. So those scenes are like, in those scenes, it's like, okay, Mirror, okay, now. A lot of pain now.
Yeah.
You know, like he's basically, I was like, fuck, you know, and then the convulsions at the convenience store.
Yeah.
And then the sort of dead behind the eyes, you know, we're literally like trying to figure it out. You know, look, he's looking at it and we're like, does this work? You know, he goes, when you come in, like, cause I'm walking, you know, and I come in and I was like, I'm completely out of my mind. I fall down into the, in the store and the blood
and then you collapse outside and
right. I see you and I collapse.
Yeah, it's really hard to watch. And I had the benefit of you and Ben kind of figuring it out. But I do remember you guys, like a lot of stuff on the show, tried a bunch of different stuff till you kind of zeroed in on what felt right and what looked right. And so I know that you tried all kinds of stuff.
We did.
Must have been exhausting.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what you can't do. You're so busy. We so appreciate you taking the time. I appreciate it. I'm so, so happy we got to chat and so happy I got to work with you. I hope we get to work with each other so soon.
My friend, me too.
Sooner rather than later.
Adam, I love you, brother. I have a lot of admiration and affection for you. And just know that.
Likewise, pal. That was my conversation with the great Yul Vasquez. We're going to take a quick break, and when we're back, Ben and I will answer some of your hotline questions.
Adam, that was amazing. Great interview.
Well, thanks, man. It was super fun.
Why don't we go into some hotline questions?
Great.
Hi, guys. Praise Keir. This is Emily G, and I actually work at a dog rescue, and I have been pretty obsessed with Severance for the last couple years. So that means many dogs have Severance-themed names. So far, I've named a dog Lumen, Harmony, Cobell, Mark, Helly, Keir, James, and I'm just wondering if you guys have any suggestions for some other names. Thanks so much. Love the show and can't wait for next season.
Thank you, Emily G. That's incredible.
I love that. Well, I mean, the glaring omission, I feel like you have to have a Mr. Milchick.
100%.
Right?
And I think Innie and Outie too, maybe.
Oh, that's good. Innie and Outie.
I love that there's a dog at this rescue just named Mark.
Is it Mark or Mark S though?
Maybe it should be Mark S.
Yeah. Have you also seen I've seen people now use like sort of the abbreviation iMark or OMark.
Oh, no, I haven't seen that.
For like Innie Mark or Outie Mark.
Why didn't we do that while we were making the show?
I know. But it's smart, right? Yeah. Any other dog names? Drummond?
Drummond's great.
Any dog name with a Mr.? Because I my dog's name is Mo and we call him Mr. Mo all the time.
Yeah. Mr. Milchick's a great name for a dog. Dylan G, that's a good name.
Dylan G. And Emil,
yeah. That's a good one. What's the name that Audi Mark gets wrong in 210? Heleny. That could be one.
Oh, that's a good one.
That was great. Thank you, Emily.
All right, next.
Hi, this is Julia. Adam and Ben, you guys are amazing. My question is for Adam Scott. If you were to pick any REM song to be part of Severance, what would it be? Brace Gear.
Wow. Mm. Well,
Adam, did you do a podcast about REM?
Yeah.
You did.
I did.
Wow.
Yeah, we had just about everybody from the band on the podcast.
I saw REM play at the 40 Watt Club in Georgia.
You did?
Back in the 90s, yeah.
You did.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
That must have been incredible.
Yeah.
I guess it's the end of the world as we know it is. Maybe too much of a on the nose pick, but
what about Losing My Religion?
Yeah, that would work. Everybody Hurts would work.
Mm. Mm. Everybody Hurts. That's probably the way.
Yeah.
Right.
There's also a later song that's one of their lesser known songs that would fit beautifully in the show. Actually, The Bear used it beautifully. But
which song?
Oh My Heart is a really pretty song and would work very well in the Audi world.
Mm.
Yeah. Great question.
Yeah. Let's do one more.
Hi, this is Greg C. I just had two questions relating to the issue of daylight savings time. My first is, do they support daylight savings time in Kier, or does Kier have its own Kierian time zone that is devoid of daylight savings? My second question, on a more serious note, why don't you, given the power and authority you now have through Severance, gather the leaders of the world together and simply agree to move the clocks back 30 minutes? I mean, why can't we just meet in the middle? Why can't we all get along? Praise Kier.
Greg C., you are kicking a hornet's nest over here.
I mean, why not just get the leader? I mean, you're getting to the heart of a question. I don't understand why this hasn't happened, and don't get me going again. Yeah. And this will be the last time we ever talk about daylight savings time on this podcast.
I have a feeling that's not true.
Well, another year has gone by. Fall is approaching. I think as of this recording, we're 56 days away from daylight savings time going away.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And that's going to, you know, throw us back into darkness too early.
So— Yeah. Sorry, are you saying to me right now on the record that you aren't looking forward to the clocks pulling back here in the fall?
No, yeah, I am saying I physically dread it. I'm like,
oh my God,
stressed about it. Yeah, because then it gets dark way earlier.
I love it when that happens in the fall. Isn't it? It's like Halloween. It's like the leaves turning and the clocks turn back and it gets dark at like 5. You don't love that?
All of that can happen without the clocks turning back. It's still, you still have leaves.
No,
and
it's
Halloween.
An essential component of,
it's going to be darker earlier anyway, because the sun is because of the trajectory of the earth is, you
but
know,
not
the
an
axis,
hour
it's,
earlier.
It's happening anyway. It's happening anyway. And we don't have any uniformity on it.
I think,
that's all
I'm saying. it's one of the few things we can depend on in today's world.
Well, this is why, Adam, you and I will never be able to, I don't know, we're never going to work together again. I don't know. It's just like a really different worldview on this. And
agree to disagree.
And, you know, when we're shooting Severance and, you know, we're in the stages, you can't tell anyway because there's no windows. So maybe that's why we get along when we're working.
That's true.
All right.
Season 3, no one better bring it up. That's all I have to say.
Wow, is that it? Is that going to be it for us?
I guess that's it. This has been so fun, man.
I'm so glad we did this podcast. I am a little bit sad, and we're coming back though. We're going to come back.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and of course the show's coming back, and we'll be doing the podcast again. And in the meantime, it's been so much fun doing this with you and talking to people on the show, and you know all the different interesting points of view we've had, and
totally
learning about stuff. And so I've really enjoyed it.
It's just been fun talking about this thing we've been focusing so much of our time and our lives on, and being able to step back a bit and appreciate it with you has been really rewarding.
So. Yeah, it's been a little, I think it's been kind of therapeutic in a way.
Yeah, right? Agreed. Yeah.
Well, thank you for listening. Thanks for being fans of the podcast and the show. And we so appreciate it and really look forward to more.
Same.
I'm Ben Stiller.
And I'm Adam Scott.
Thank you for listening.
The Severance Podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is a presentation of Odyssey, Red Hour Productions, and Great Scott.
If you like the show, be sure to rate and review this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your other podcast platform of choice. It really makes a difference. Our executive producers are Barry Finkel, Gabrielle Lewis, Naomi Scott, and Leah Reese Dennis. This show is produced by Ben Goldberg. It's mixed and mastered by Chris Basil. We have additional engineering from Javi Cruces.
Show clips are courtesy of Fifth Season. Music by Theodore Shapiro. Special thanks to the team at Odyssey, Maura Curran, Eric Donnelly, Michael LeVay, Melissa Wester, Kate Rose, Kurt Courtney, and Hilary Schuff.
And the team at Red Hour, John Lesher, Carolina Pesikov, Jean-Pablo Antonetti, Ashwin Ramesh, Maria Noto, John Baker, and Sam Lyon.
And at Great Scott, Kevin Cotter, Josh Martin, and Christy Smith at Rise Management.